Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation here on the Sam Nation Radio Network. Trump has been impeached. But hold the phone. Maybe not so quickly. Seeing as how Nancy Pelosi is sitting on the articles of impeachment. Now, everybody is asking me what this means because there is some scuttlebutt now about does this mean that Trump was actually impeached? And I'll explain all of it to you. And also with perhaps a little bit of insight into what old Nancy is planning or what tricks she has up her sleeve. None of what is transpiring right now with the House of Representatives holding back the articles of impeachment and not sending them on to the Senate is going to be a good move. Now, what I suspect has happened is that Nancy Pelosi wants this dragged out for the money. I know for you and me, we are aghast at this and we're laughing at the Democrats and we think they're clowns. But for Nancy and co, they are making money on this hand over fist. There are congressmen and women who have been loud and obnoxious supporters of impeachment who are fundraising off of this in a way you could not imagine. Their Christmas has come early. And I think part of this, part of this is they know it's going to go nowhere. It's going to go to the Senate. And what's going to happen in the Senate? It will die. It will die the death that it deserves. And then what? Womp, womp, womp. Start over. No, they can't start over now. I mean, they got 10 months to go. So, they could find something new. I saw something today, some scuttlebutt. Adam Schiff is discovering dirt on who other than Mike Pence, the vice president. So now the Pence is going to be in the crosshairs of Adam Schiff. Poor Pence. I don't think the guy would even steal half of a Krispy Kreme if it was in the White House cafeteria. So I don't. they're desperate. But the point of all of it is keep it alive, keep impeachment alive, keep the drama flowing. You have to read this all not in the terms of some big, complicated, constitutional legal process. You've got to think of this as the Desperate Housewives or the Real Housewives, whatever that show's called. Are those two different shows? Right. This is basically a reality TV show where these ugly Democrats, and I mean ugly both, in their physical appearance and also in their behavior. They want to keep this thing buzzing and the drama flowing, and they cannot let the narrative just evaporate right now. Every day that goes by, there are hundreds of thousands of dollars being accumulated in the Democratic Party coffers, and they are absolutely keen on capitalizing on that. So I want you to understand why it is that Nancy's holding it back. Now, the reality of it is she's on very shaky ground because this impeachment, I'll put it to you in terms of how this works in court. So if you have... Supposing you have gone to a Christmas party this holiday season. I think we're allowed to call that now that Trump's president, we can call it Christmas parties again. So we got a Christmas party. You go and you get sloshed and you end up drinking and driving and you're out there on the road and you get pulled over, you get arrested. Now, as part of this process of being arrested, at some point you're going to have criminal charges filed against you. And it is important for that case to go to trial. There's a certain time period where it has to go to trial. And that's basically how you have to look at this thing with impeachment, right? The House of Representatives, they bring the charges. They say the president is being indicted. Now, these are called articles of impeachment. It's not the same thing, but it functions the same way. These articles of impeachment are being and they act as a grand jury would. We have an indictment and it has to go to the prosecutor and it has to go to the court. and the court is the Senate. And it's not technically, believe it or not, what you're hearing out there is actually true. Even the liberals out there right now are screaming that it's not an impeachment. You've got Nancy's got to send it to the Senate or it doesn't count. Now, I promise you, do not get giddy about this because Trump is effectively impeached in the House. Nancy will send these articles, I think, sooner than later to the Senate. She's just milking it. And it's all about politics. Now, well, right. Now, do you think perhaps Nancy's got something else up her sleeve? Producer Robbie's giving me the sideways eye. And I, you know, you've got to consider this. No, I don't think so. I don't think so, because strategically, what are her moves? I had it here. So, I mean, she basically could right now be looking for more witnesses, but she had an opportunity to do that for the last 8 months. So it's not like she's going to find, there's not some big smoking gun that she's waiting to bring. Perhaps there are some behind the scenes negotiations with a key witness. But again, those key witnesses could not be brought forward on the basis of executive privilege. Because remember, Article 2, which was the obstruction of Congress charge, is all based on Trump. What? Yeah, well, he's asserting his executive privilege to prevent his people from testifying. And executive privilege is something that has been established in the courts over a period of time. It does exist. It is real. And that's one of the reasons he was, I guess, the Democrats insisted on impeaching him. But I suppose there could be some witness there that was not within the purview of executive privilege or was not prevented from testifying on that basis. But I don't see that. I don't see that being the case at all. Now, Schumer's delusional. I saw him yesterday on television. I was on the treadmill and I was trying to work out some of my aggression from the night before, because I tell you, folks, I was in a word on one. And so I'm on the treadmill. I see the two heads of the Senate, the majority leader McConnell, minority leader Chuck Schumer. McConnell basically says this is a farce. It's going nowhere. You know, we're gonna see what they have, but you know, bring it and we'll show you what we're gonna do to it. And then Schumer comes along and he is making demands about the number of witnesses and how the process is gonna work. And I'm going, are these people out of their minds? The Democrats in the House have been shouting down and talking down to the Republican minority every day, every hour, all throughout this process. Some of the things that were said would be anywhere off the floor of the House would be slanderous, would be actionable. Nonetheless, allowed to stand. Because of their own privileges, by the way, that they enjoy on the floor. So the demands that the Democrats are making in the Senate are absurd. And I'll give you some anecdotes to this. You know, I believe I've mentioned to you before that I had a good friend, a law professor of mine, who was actually one of the prosecutors, the managers of the Clinton impeachment. So he was a congressman here from Southern California, and he presented the case against Bill Clinton. And the rules at the time were set by the Senate in a way that basically didn't allow him to put on a case. And he told me about this many times. It's a funny story. They basically the Senate could totally change the rules of evidence. And the Democrats insisted on it back then. And so the tweaked rules of evidence back in 1997 or 8, Well, so they tweaked the rules, and based on those rules, certain evidence couldn't be presented, and on that basis, Clinton was acquitted. The rules are set by the majority party. The rules are set by the Senate. The House, Nancy Pelosi could stand upside down, okay, on a falafel, and it wouldn't matter what she thinks or what she wants. At the end of the day, all that matters is the rules that the Senate sets. And I am telling you right now, if I was a Senate minority leader, if I was Chuck Schumer, and I don't know how he can stand up there with a straight face and demand, as the losing party, as the party that has not the majority, is in the minority, to be demanding special treatment and rules. It blows my mind. So in the end, after all of this is said and done, it's going to be a big fat zero. Now, what I want to get into, and most importantly, is the fallout. Because what does this mean? How does it matter? And what role does it play in 2020? This is, mark my words, epic. It is absolutely going to be one of the most important political events leading into the 2020 election. I will explain all of this when I come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, here on the Sam Nation Radio Network. Hi, it's Sam.
Hey, it's Ash, and we're Sam and Ash, your personal injury attorneys.
If you've been injured in an accident, don't talk to an insurance agent or claims adjuster. Talk to us.
Look, the insurance company's job is to deny your injuries, and that's because paying you what's fair costs them money.
We will get you the compensation you deserve. It's what's right.
So visit us at samandash.com.
Samandash.com. Sam and Ash.
Because you deserve what's right.
Okay, if you think, I'm getting some feedback here that maybe, just maybe, Nancy Pelosi has a coherent strategy. And I respectfully disagree, and I'll tell you why. I think I'm not getting any clear signals from her. In fact, some of the signals that I have seen are absolutely, I think she's lost. I don't think she's got a good explanation for why she hasn't delivered the articles of impeachment to the Senate, and my suspicion that she's holding them back for financial gain, for purposes of fundraising and the like, and keeping the drama alive. Here is a journalist. She's being asked. Pelosi's being asked. You know, kind of. This is a softball question, as a matter of fact. You know, hey, look, Nancy, you run the risk, right? Of Madam Speaker, you run the risk of looking like you're perhaps just playing into, you know, Republican hands. You're playing stall tactics. You know, what say you? So here's the question, and you've got to listen to this answer by Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House.
Run the risk, as some Republicans have said, of looking like you're playing games with impeachment if you hold on to these articles for too long.
I said what I was going to say, Nancy. When we bring the bill, which is, just so you know, there's a bill made in order by the Rules Committee that we can call up at any time in order to send it over to the Senate and to have the provisions in there to pay for the impeachment and then the next step, and whatever you want to call it, the trial. That is where you put the managers. I was not prepared to put the managers and that bill yet because we don't know the arena that we are in. Frankly, I don't care what the Republicans say.
What? I mean, you can say that she was having a bad moment. She's an older lady, all that stuff. My takeaway from this is that she doesn't have a good explanation for why she's holding it back. So she's all over the map. It's throwing a lot of words out there that normally when she's having a good day sound good. The problem is right now she's having a really bad day. If things are starting to turn on them, and so I'm taking from this something, and that's that this is, there's not a real coherent strategy. Now the risk that the Democrats have here is a huge one. Because the Democratic Party has absolutely gone all in on impeachment crazy. And the only reason to do that, please spare me the idea that this was all done because there was an exigent circumstance that Trump was in office, needed to be removed, that he was a clear and present danger to the country, as we heard in each speech over and over again. Again, if he was such a clear and present danger, get it up into the Senate, put this danger of a situation in their laps and let them take the political heat, right, for acquitting him. That's the proper course. Not holding on to it because you're waiting to assemble your staff of prosecutors and want to see what the rules are going to be or whatever hogwash that is. So it's really, this is a political game. The Democrats believe, the House Democrats believe that this was good for them. Now, I am sitting here and my already depleting hair situation atop my head has gotten worse this week. I am pulling it out, folks, trying to figure out what in the H-E double hockey sticks these clowns are thinking. Because I like to think of myself as a political thinker, as a strategist, and I'm able to put strategy aside from my deeply held political beliefs. Which is why, from time to time, people on the other side of the aisle have reached out to me, and I've always been, I think, gracious in offering my insight and advice, because I understand how to win in any given climate, especially this one. And folks, you know, I know, this is not the way to do it. This is so crazy out of touch. And I'll give you some examples. You have got to believe, if you're going to go after Trump, you've got to believe that he is, from a support perspective, vulnerable. And you have got to believe that the math in 2020, because every single congressman is up for re-election. Not half, not a third, but every single congressional district goes up for a vote. Now, this creates an enormous amount of pressure for Nancy. Again, this is why I keep telling you it's all about the money, because she has to raise hundreds of millions of dollars for all these districts. Average competitive district now costs $3 to $4 million, just so you know, to win it for one side. I mean, hell, it costs $3 to $4 million to lose it, too. So you got to come up with all, and you know, there's hundreds of districts. So that, you get my point. It's a lot of money that she has to raise. And in order to raise it, you've got to get that from the party faithful, people that give and that kind of thing. And I understand that, but her majority comes from districts that are either evenly split or that are leaning right, that are leaning Republican, and that voted for Trump in 2016. And what Nancy Pelosi and House leadership and the Democratic Party failed to do is give moderate Democrats an out. They aggressively pursued these guys to get them into line. And this is why it was bipartisan. This impeachment was bipartisan, by the way. Don't let anybody ever tell you that it wasn't. The opposition to it was bipartisan, right? Yeah, there were a few Democrats that switched over and voted against it. Zero Republicans, but the Democrats were absolutely corralling this. It was a crisis for a number of these Democrats to make this vote. And from my understanding of what happened behind the scenes is there was an enormous amount of pressure. Now, there's a congressman that cracked, and his name is Jeff Van Drew. And this guy's from New Jersey, and he had to switch parties. Now, I want you to listen. When we come back, I'm going to play you what he said when he sat down with Trump. And this, by the way, I've heard from other sources, is what has been going on, what was going on behind the scenes. Just to give you an idea, this is a guy in a Republican district that won as a Democrat, who's hanging on by the hairs of his chinny chin chin, And this is the kind of tone-deaf, stupid approach that the Democratic Party is taking. Stay tuned right here. I'll be back right after this.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation here on the Sam Nation Radio Network, coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada, from our desert fortress. Yes, that is, hear that quiet noise, nothing, quietness, Robbie, that is the sound of freedom. All right, here is Congressman Vandrew. Now, he officially switched parties on Thursday. The Democrats are furious, and he had a sit-down meeting with Trump. Now, in this meeting, I guess one of the things that he said is he pledges his undying loyalty. He sat with the president for like 40 minutes, gave a lot of extemporaneous comments, and they zero in on that one. Justin Amash, Amash. Well, he's the guy. He's a Republican who switched to independent. He goes, he got up within 10 minutes and said, I give my undying loyalty to the Constitution, not the president. Oh, shut up. You know, it was a really funny get together. You clear why Vandrew is a successful politician. He's very glib. And he gets up there and with Trump, but there's a part of it that didn't get picked up by the media, and I am here to play it for you because it's important. This is him explaining what happened over the last couple of weeks leading up to his vote on impeachment and the kind of pressure he was getting from behind the scenes. Have a listen.
I actually had a meeting with somebody about 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, and the individual was a local county chairman in the Democratic Party. And he sat down and he said, I just want to tell you something. And he said, I want to tell you that you can't vote against impeachment. I said, what do you mean I can't vote against impeachment? Mm-hmm. He says, you can't vote against impeachment. You will not. I have 8 counties in my district. You will not get the line. You will not get the county. I will do everything to prevent that from happening and everything to destroy it.
That's it. So basically, the Democratic Party went all in on this impeachment. If you ever think about what is one of the symptoms of Trump derangement syndrome, it's where you throw out all reality, all common sense, and you go all in to destroy Trump because that is how obsessed you are with him. And I get it when your crazy relatives do it at Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas dinner coming up. And I understand it when some of my friends and acquaintances start frothing at the mouth when we're having drinks or a get together. I get all of that. But I am mystified how Democratic leadership thinks that this is a winning issue. And one of the reasons, folks, they believe the polling, right? I've been saying this for weeks. What was the height of impeachment, of favoring impeachment, favoring removal? Those were two different things, always much lower for favoring removal. Let's say it was 55. It's not 50. Folks, it is not 55%. It's not 55%. Well, the same with the election in Britain on the 12th of December. And what did they tell us? It was this close. Well, Corbyn may become prime minister tomorrow with this close in the polls. And it was the biggest majority since Thatcher. Morning after. The polls are not picking up the Trump sympathy voters. Those people are not taking pollster phone calls. They're off the grid. They don't fit the formula. I was just reading somewhere that they're doing some kind of like entrance polling on participants at Trump rallies. And the results show a large number of Democrats that are attending. Now, I don't know if people are how maybe people aren't being totally honest. I distrust all polling numbers. But let's say that 5% or 6% of the people that are attending Trump rallies are Democrats. The numbers I saw were 20, 16, 15, 18, 20%. Let's say it's 5. That's 5% of the 6,000 people that go into that arena that wait 4, 5, 6, 8 hours in line in the cold to go see Trump, you know, scream at them for 4 hours. Those are dedicated people. They're not there to heckle. They're dedicated because, by the way, the hecklers are not announcing that they're Democrats, right? So these are people that are going in there that are not Republicans, and they love Trump so much they're going to stand in line to see him. See, those are the people that are not getting picked up by polling, because the way polling works is it picks people based on their sample and past behaviors. These are people who have voted lifelong Democrat. These are people who haven't voted. These are people who haven't declared officially a party affiliation. And so the formulas that have worked for years, when it was, Mitt Romney versus Obama, or, you know, or Bush, you know, versus John Kerry or whatnot, in those races, those were the paradigm there was very traditional and expected and could be predictable. All bets are off. So I think they believe their polling. I think they believe their polling numbers. And finally, on this issue, they decided that they were going to have everyone back them. And they went to this Van Drew guy, who clearly was such a holdout that he ended up leaving the party over it. And they resorted to threatening him that we will run against you. So when you hear about the 31 vulnerable Democrats, the 31 Democrats, the part of the congressional delegation that come from districts where Trump won in 2016. And you are sitting there and you're going, I don't understand it. I don't get how these people could have voted for this. This is suicide. And I am convinced that for all their protestations, I know some of these people, for all their protestations that it is, I don't know, that it is their conscience, I think they faced a choice. We will annihilate you in the primary, or you can take your chances in the general. And that's an impossible position to be in. I also think that you've got to remember that Congress is like any job. I mean, we all have jobs with offices that we go to. And when we go into work, what do we want? Do we want things to be pleasant, or do we want to be the black sheep? Because nobody wants to be the black sheep. And Congress, for congressmen, ends up being their work. They've all been there now a year, right? They've been there a little over a year. They're getting used to it. They have their friends. They have their places they go in the cafeteria and their little group that they hang out with. And I'm telling you, it's if you're going to be a marked person within your own party and you vote against your party on a very major thing, it's not a pleasant deal. And I think also ultimately that's why Jeff Van Drew left the party. I mean, he realized voting against the Democrats and also facing this kind of pressure, he was just disgusted by it. So those are the thoughts. It's absolute insanity. All right. More on this when we get back. Also. Oh, we're going to get to Comey. Yeah, that was last Sunday. Can you believe it? James Comey on Fox News went on with Chris Wallace. Just crazy stuff. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network. Hi, it's Sam.
Hey, it's Ash, and we're Sam and Ash, your personal injury attorneys.
An accident is incredibly stressful. Handling an insurance claim, totally overwhelming.
Also, insurance companies have zero interest in giving their money to you, because that just cuts into their profits.
Our team is in your corner because you deserve what's right, and that's full compensation for your injuries.
So visit us 24/7 at samandash.com.
Sam and Ash.
Because you deserve what's right.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was talking to a friend of mine here in Vegas who is a radio host on a sports station. You may know him. And I won't tell you his name, but he has a good friend of his who works at the cloakroom. He's a, I guess he's worked at the Democratic cloakroom. So that's the Democrats all meet in that room. It's right before you go onto the House floor, the floor of the House of Representatives. And he's like the manager of that cloakroom and been working in that job, I guess, for a number of years. And he called his buddy, this mutual friend, and he told him that on Wednesday it was the most acrimonious he had ever seen it on the floor of the House of Representatives. Now, I'll give you an example of this here. Representative Louie Gohmert from Texas, a big time opponent of the impeachment process, starts attacking the Ukraine narrative because, of course, the thing that you're hearing from all the Democrats was, oh, it's Ukraine. It's the Ukraine. The Trump withheld vital aid. Trump screwed the Ukraine just to get back at Biden, you know, blah, 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 blah. And Gohmert had enough, and he was very impassioned. And here's what he said about the Ukraine.
The president turning his back on Ukraine, that happened in 2009, because in 2008, Ukraine invaded Georgia. What happened? Bush put sanctions on Russia to teach them a lesson. What happened after that? Well, in March of 2009, Hillary Clinton was sent over to Russia with a reset button to say, Bush overreacted. We're okay that you invaded Georgia. It was a green light to Russia to invade Ukraine. And what do? Oh, yeah, you send blankets and MREs. They can eat and be warm while the Russians are killing them. That is what the Obama administration did.
And he's 100% right, to which fat Jerry Nadler said something to the effect of that he was deeply concerned that any member of the House would spout Russian propaganda on the floor of the House. And I thought Gohmert, I saw it, I thought Gohmert was going to jump up and hit him. He ran back to the podium. His mic was off. He began screaming at Nadler. I mean, and there was, well, who was it? Was it Clyburn that said that Trump needed to hang? The things that came out of the mouths of these Democrats when the Republicans were making some very salient points, all of this is 100% historically accurate. History will not judge the Democrats well on this. It will not. Moreover, the other problem politically now is that while all of this impeachment nonsense is brewing, okay, you have an investigation by John Dunham, who's the U.S. attorney looking into the FISA court abuses, that is following up, is basically the criminal tail of Inspector General Horowitz's investigation into these abuses at the FBI and at certain places in the National Security Administration. So this investigation is not going to get any better. I understand that now there's a high-level Obama administration official who is cooperating with Dunham. And now you're going to have at the same time that they're grasping at straws and making impeachment, spinning it out, basically, you know, emperor's new clothes. There's nothing there. But at the same time, a real criminal investigation that finds wrongdoing and gets pleas, it'll, trust me, now the shoe's on the other foot. And unlike with Mueller, where they were going at people for lying to Congress and lying to the FBI, here they're going to get people on substantive, not just procedural charges. And when they do, they're going to get pleas. They're going to get people who are going to be cooperating, who will be looking to minimize their criminal exposure. And this is going to all disassemble in the coming 10 months. It was tremendously short-sighted for Congress to turn Trump into this martyr victim through this impeachment nonsense charade. They didn't allege anything criminal. They knew it was just a scam. And I suppose they think that as if they have enough money in their coffers, they're going to win. But I promise you, the rage from our rank and file is enormous. It is strong. It is boiling. And it is going to drive people to the polls. The Democrats, you know what the Democrats did? They just finally did what the Republicans can never seem to do. And that is they built the Republicans a motor voter drive combined with a giant kumbaya unity push, joining Republicans, even establishment Republicans, with Donald Trump. Unbelievable, unprecedented, and I believe it'll hold. And the longer that Nancy Pelosi sits on it, the better it gets for Trump and the Republicans. All right. Yeah, I know so much to cover. Stay tuned. I got more thoughts on this when we come back.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Marjowski. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
You know, I need time to develop this, but the Utah's 4th district is one of the districts that is of the 31 places where Trump won in 2016, and had a congressman who promised to be independent. It promised to not be a rubber stamp for Nancy Pelosi, promised a lot of empty things that he reneged on. And may well become a political casualty. I have some insight into this. I'll get into that when we come back. I think it should be fun. And by the way, I think this is happening now across the country in a lot of different spots. So let's get into that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Marjowski, Sam Nation, here on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
In this present crisis, government is the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. And Sam Nation is the solution. Of course, you need jelly beans for that.
Hi, Sam Marjowski, Sam Nation, here on the Sam Nation radio program. And let me repeat to you a mantra that I have always repeated, but that for some odd reason, I failed to follow last year. Let me explain. See, the word came to be in an era where a lot was made of the word bipartisanship. Now, I still remember hearing that word and always wondering, I wonder, why does this word mean that Republicans cave and Democrats get what they want? I was always baffled by that. Because when it came time for Republicans to be in power, they certainly were going to help the Democrats. But when the Democrats came into power, they never did what the Republicans wanted. It kind of like this whole question of impeachment rules, right? The Democrats run roughshod over Trump and over the Republicans, didn't let the Republicans contribute anything in the way of rules, limited their time. They're all well within their rights. And now it comes time for the case to go into the Senate and you hear nothing but Democrats demanding, expecting really Republicans to cave to them on rules. And I'm pleased that in the era of Trump, Republican pacifism is over. Now, some of you know I have a brother-in-law who is a good guy, ran and is a congressman in Utah's 4th congressional district. And I got to tell you my profound disappointment that he chose not to run as far and fast away from this insanity as his legs could carry him. Now, Ben McAdams is his name. He's a lawyer. Went to Columbia. Last time I checked, a pretty damn fine law school. He knows the Constitution. I'm sure he's read it. I have no idea what he is smoking. Because he decided, I saw his press I saw this press conference, I had to read the transcript afterwards because I was absolutely mystified what it was that he was trying to get across. The gist of it was, well, you see, Trump's going to get acquitted anyway, and I have to do the right thing. And by the way, he's going to get acquitted, and it's partisanship at its worst. I told you, I think last show when we got into this, I think the proper course and procedure here would be, if you don't like Trump, admit you don't like Trump. I don't like Trump. This almost would be the perfect script for a reasonable congressman who doesn't have Nancy Pelosi or the chair of the Democratic Party threatening him with a lead pipe. I don't like Trump. I don't like the things that Trump has allegedly done. We have bigger things to do right now. I want nothing to do with this process. I think we need to move on and focus on the economy, focus on a livable wage, focus on and just start filling in a lot of words of gibberish nonsense, you know, the kind of stuff that politicians, especially the ones on the left, like to spew out. But I am convinced that Ben gave in. Not just to the pressures of the party, but into his own belief that that the orange man is bad. And I am blown away at how a reasonable person could come to that conclusion. Now, how he explains this to me and others is that he did the right thing. He voted his conscience. And I have to tell you that I have my doubts about that. But regardless, if I take him at his word, I my answer back to it is that I will vote my conscience in turn. And I am embarrassed that I bought into bipartisanship. I am embarrassed that I gave money to a Democrat when Trump was in office. I am embarrassed that I opened my home and did a fundraiser for Mr. McAdams. And so what I did, as soon as I saw that press conference, I looked at the field, and there is a tremendous guy running in Utah's 4th Congressional District. And his name is Burgess Owens. If you don't know who this guy is, he is a sharp guy. African-American, he's a former NFL athlete, he's done a tremendous amount of charitable work, and he is a fantastic guy. And I went online and we made a full donation to him. And in so doing, usually what happens like this early on in the races is it gets the attention of the campaign. So I get a phone call from Burgess Owens. And that was a very gracious guy, very good guy. I had to tell him I didn't really want to get into the substance of things and that, you know, this was a contribution I made with some reluctance, but nonetheless, I have had it with broken promises from Democrats. I tell you, and if you think congressional Republicans, some of them are no better. And if you've listened to this program long enough, you know my ire with them. But right here, right now, this week, listen to me. This is what happened. The Republicans stood by and did the right thing. And not one of them broke loose. Not one. I cannot remember the last time. Go back 2 years and they were all up in Trump's business and not liking anything. And we're all making loud noises. They stood behind our president and did the right thing. And these Democrats, like Ben, who pledged to go to Washington to be independent, to not be a rubber stamp for Nancy Pelosi, ended up doing exactly that. So with the exception of Jared Golden from Maine and Colin Peterson from Minnesota and Jeff Van Drew, formerly a Democrat, now Republican from New Jersey, with those three exceptions. All of these other Democrats. Oh, wait, Tulsi Gabbard. Don't forget Tulsi. She voted present. What the literal F is that? That's straight from the Obama playbook. Remember, Barack Obama would always vote present. He'd show up, smile, vote present. Didn't want any record. The Manchurian candidate himself. So Tulsi Gabbard taking a play from that, a page from that playbook. So at any rate, all of these Democrats are tainted by this. Now, I saw a piece the other day from the local newspaper in Salt Lake City. There's two. There's one's Deseret News, and the other one's Salt Lake Tribune. They're all the people that write for these are basically leftists. And there's this thing that says, oh, there's a poll out. There's a dump. McAdams' vote is good for him. You know, it actually is good because, you know, he voted exactly the way his constituents would want. So I, being, I don't know, call me old-fashioned. You know, I tend to think that that if you want the wind in your sails politically, you want 51% of the audience behind you, right? So I go and I look this poll up. That the headline, right? The headline is it's good for McAdams. The poll, can you believe this? Okay, I got to find the exact number. Hold on. So hold on a second. 42% of Utahns in the 4th district said they were more likely to support their congressman if he voted for impeachment. 42%. They're touting this as a win. These people are, I don't, this is dementia. This is some kind of like brain problem. You can't win a race with 42% of the vote when in the same district, let me look this up so I don't mislead you. Aha, 2016, Trump, 56%. And that was 2016 when a lot of LDS people, a lot of Mormons didn't like Trump and Romney was out there, you know, beating the never Trump drum. And I guarantee you a lot more people in Utah have more economic opportunity under Trump. And that number in that district, I know that district, that number is going up, folks. So on the same year that people are excited to go and vote for Trump, as long as the Trumpster doesn't screw it up in the next 10 months, you have people going, Ben won by 700 votes in this district. 700. And that was on a year when a lot of Trump people stayed home and didn't really care about voting for Mia because Mia, his opponent, Republican opponent, the incumbent, was trash talking him. I think that there is a screw loose in these people's heads. And I attribute it, if their claims are sincere and they're not, they haven't been threatened by Pelosi with being kicked out in the primaries, getting primaried, then I have to believe that they by watching CNN, by watching MSNBC, by reading the, you know, Politico and all these things, they are so convinced they're right. They are so convinced that Trump is awful, and they are completely and literally out of touch with basically most of America. And these people are not in the colloquial sense, but in the literal sense, losers. They claim to be the party that is of the people. And if you listen to guys like Ben, they say they're there to help the little guy. They are so out of touch and disconnected from you, from me, and the rest of the country. I don't know how they find their way back home from an international trip. Seriously. I am mystified. So at any rate, it promises to be a very interesting Christmas for me with family because I don't know if Ben actually knows that I've donated to his opponent. But that's, you know, if he can vote for impeachment and turn his back on the support that he got from many Republicans and who are in many cases are people who like me, who like the president. I'm telling you, then we have the right, I think, to do the same thing and take that moral high ground ourselves. So time to clean these people out. Get them out of office. Find these districts. If you have the ability, if you have the ability to throw some dollars, you may live in California where your district is going to stay Democrat. I got it. Donate to one of these races. Donate to the Republican Congressional Committee. Donate. Just, I am telling you, these clowns need to be out, because what I saw on the floor of the House these last 3 weeks has been disgusting. I am disgusted to my core. Okay, enough. Sam Rogowski, over and out, back after this.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
So I promised before I got on this extended rant that I would get into the Chris Wallace interview with Comey. James Comey, fired FBI director. And this was last Sunday. Now, I think the reason that this is so fantastic is that Comey is still delusional. And his ability to lie, I got to tell you, his ability to lie is really good. I mean, really good. And it's relevant today because he has been one of the fiercest critics of Trump. The left has rallied around this guy. The Never Trumpers have rallied around this guy. When really he is someone who we all, right and left, Democrat, Republican, whomever, as people vested in the freedoms that this country has and in preserving these freedoms, and believing that perhaps the authorities that are given to law enforcement can be scary and need to be checked and balanced, we should all be united in being absolutely aghast at this. And this is why Chris Wallace, who is by no means a Trump stooge, I thought his jaw was going to fall off. Listen to this exchange here, first part on Sunday.
Here are you and the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, answering the same question.
Do you think this is vindication?
It is. I mean, the FBI's had to wait 2 years while the president and his followers lied about the institution. Finally, the truth gets told.
Does your report vindicate Mr. Comey?
It doesn't vindicate anyone at the FBI who touched this, including the leadership.
So the clip, first one, was Anderson Cooper asking James Comey, you think this vindication? He goes, yes, absolutely. This is, the president's been lying for 2 years about the good men and women at the FBI. And finally, the truth gets told. And the second clip is Senator Kennedy from Louisiana asking, does your report vindicate Mr. Comey? This is asking Inspector General Horowitz, the guy who wrote the report. And Horowitz goes, no. So naturally, Chris Wallace follows up.
The IG says you should feel no vindication, gross negligence, or they intended to do it. They intended to lie to the FISA court. You were in charge during a lot of this, sir. And in fact, you signed the FISA applications.
Sure. I think I signed at least two or three of them. He doesn't conclude that there was intentional misconduct by these career special agents.
No, he just says it's one of two things and he can't decide. Gross negligence or it was intentional misconduct. Well, that's what he said.
I've read his report. He says we are not concluding that there was intentional misconduct by FBI.
Did you hear what he just said here?
I did. I don't know the context of that. I've read.
He was asked specifically, how do you explain it? And he said gross negligence or intentionality.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. He doesn't find intentionality, but that doesn't make it any less important.
What? He needs to know the context. What do you mean context? The context is you feeling vindicated. You don't need context for that, Comey. It's your feeling. The context is your statement. This guy is a pathological liar. And everything he has said all along should be taken now through this lens. He's been caught with his pants down. And again, that even Chris Wallace is willing to put him in the hot seat, I think, is everything you need to know about this. So Bill Barr, the attorney general, is asked by Martha McCallum about Comey's, because Comey's been attacking Barr. And Barr is, he is, his department, right, the Justice Department, and the U.S. Attorney John Durham is conducting an investigation into all this. So Comey, really, I'll be honest with you, I don't think Comey should be making any public statements whatsoever. If I were Comey's lawyer, I would tell him to shut the, you know, his pie hole and stay home and out of sight. But that's, this is the problem with pathological liars and people who believe in their own invincibility. They can't stop. And it will get the best of him. Comey himself may not end up getting prosecuted. I'm just telling you, this is all going to come back. He's going to end up a material witness in this. And these public statements will be used to impeach him. I mean that as a character witness. It's something that you do when you're on trial. If you take a witness and you find some statement that they made that is contradicts in some way what they're saying there on the stand, or at least shows that they're a liar, and you can basically have their credibility stricken, right? So here, McCallum says to Barr, you know, James Comey said you made an irresponsible statement about these FBI individuals, right? He's saying that you're out there, you and Trump are out there lying about the FBI. He's finally been vindicated and da-da-da-da-da. And just Barr is Mr. Understatement. He's the exact opposite of Comey. Every word is a nuclear, you know, missile, but it's flying, you know, very quietly, very stealthy. So just listen to this.
Well, as I said, I made the same statement effectively and substantively as the inspector general, which is there are unexplained misconduct that are, it just can't be easily explained as to what was going on there. And as he said, it could involve bad motive. And he was not in a position, given the limited scope he has, of making that final determination. So it's not speculation. But, you know, I think there are episodes there that are simply, that simply cannot be squared with innocent mistakes. And I think people have to come to terms with it.
And I read that, by the way, there's that people can't come to terms with that as being an acknowledgement that there's an ongoing criminal investigation, okay, and that things will come out. So this will all absolutely heat up significantly. All right, when we come back, let's talk about the race. There's a big Democratic debate last night, bit of a snooze fest, although some nice flare-ups there, and let's check in on the field of candidates that are poised to lose to Trump in November. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
I was listening the other day to a friend of mine. His name is Sam, Sam Rogowski. You'll find him very entertaining. He's very stylish. He's always wearing his suit. And if you want to hear someone's opinion that absolutely is correct, you listen to Sam. Anyone else is a waste of time.
Elizabeth Warren is done, and it's not. I don't even know if it's a substantive thing, but her voice, cadence, her attitude, it is so grating. It's so Here is Elizabeth Warren deciding to take down Mayor Pete Buttigieg with this kind of some allegations about a fundraiser that he held. Listen to this.
The mayor just recently had a fundraiser that was held in a wine cave full of crystals and served $900 a bottle wine. Think about who comes to that. He had promised that every fundraiser he would do would be open door, but this one was closed door. We made the decision many years ago that rich people in smoke-filled rooms would not pick the next president of the United States. Billionaires in wine caves should not pick the next president of the United States.
Okay. Now I have to step up here and explain something to some of you here. I love wine, and I have been in a wine cave or two, and I'm going to tell you one thing that Elizabeth Warren needs to be absolutely sure of, that there was no smoking in that wine cave, because if you smoke in a wine cellar, it will affect the taste of the wine. Can't have it. No smoking in a wine cave. So the good news is it wasn't a smoke-filled room. Now, doesn't she sound just pedantic? You know, she reminds me, I had this, in elementary school, I had a playground monitor, I guess would be her name. And, you know, she would catch me doing something terrible, of course, because I was always doing something terrible. Bring me in to the principal's office, and she'd kind of have me standing there. And she was just talking at the principal and almost in a shrill yelling voice saying all the horrible things I had done. And that is the memory that's coming back to me watching and listening to Elizabeth Warren. She just sounds, I don't know, a combination of a nun, you know, if you went to Catholic school, and an ex-wife. So Mayor Pete delivers this stunning response.
According to Forbes magazine, I am literally the only person on this stage who's not a millionaire or a billionaire. So if this is important, this is the problem with issuing purity tests you cannot yourself pass. If I pledge never to be in the company of a progressive Democratic donor, I couldn't be up here. Senator, your net worth is 100 times mine. Now, supposing that you went home feeling the holiday spirit, I know this isn't likely, but stay with me, and decided to go on to PeteForAmerica.com and give the maximum allowable by law, $2,800. Would that pollute my campaign because it came from a wealthy person? No, I would be glad to have that support. We need the support from everybody who is committed to helping us defeat Donald Trump.
Yes. Yes, he's right. It's straight up. You don't think, the irony, of course, is that Elizabeth Warren has that guy Ed Buck on her panel of supporters. Did you hear about this? Yeah, she even has it on her website somewhere. I think she's since scrubbed it. But Ed Buck, he's the guy in West Hollywood who every, you know, 3 or 4 weeks has a dead homeless man show up, you know, mysteriously in his apartment. He was arrested, of course, I think might still be in custody. But he apparently likes to lure men to his apartment and give them drugs and whatnot. I don't know if it was a smoke-filled room. No idea on that. By the way, the wine cellar, I was curious about this because I thought, what is this wine cellar that has crystals in it? I mean, it sounds great. Number one, fantastic. Why wasn't I invited? Seeing as how I'm a sucker for giving to Democrats who want to screw Trump. And it turns out it was up here in Northern California, Hall Rutherford Winery. I don't know. It's some really nice place. So there's a Chilean red chandelier adorned with 1500 Swarovski crystals. So, I don't know. It sounds like a great place. I hope Mayor Pete had a great time. And $900 a bottle for wine. I know it sounds crazy. It's really, believe it or not, there's actually wine out there that costs a whole lot more. So I don't know what, this is totally standard operating procedure. Biden had a big fundraiser in my neighborhood back in California. Big time. My neighbors spent like 2 months just remodeling their house to make it pretty for Biden. I don't know if he, I hope he appreciated it. But it didn't come up in the event, or in this debate. So we'll see. When we come back, I got to play for you this Andrew Yang clip. In the Drudge poll that I saw, not that that's, you know, some official polling, but everybody in the Drudge poll liked what Andrew Yang had to say, thought he was the winner of the debate. He's a sleepy guy, not particularly engaging, but what he says occasionally is spot on brilliant. Stay tuned. I'll play that when we come back.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
All right. right, here is Andrew Yang. Remember when the debate was happening, impeachment had just occurred the day before, so it was a topic. And all the Democrats were clamoring over who was more woke when it came to things like green energy. Biden got on the record to say that he would be perfectly fine with eliminating millions of jobs, blue-collar jobs, if it meant saving the environment. So he definitely picked up the Scranton, Pennsylvania vote right there in the bag for him. Here's Andrew Yang talking about how, you know, maybe you Democrats, speaking to, I guess, his fellow Democrats, maybe we need to be a little more sensitive to what is really happening out there.
The media networks didn't do us any favors by missing a reason why Donald Trump became our president in the first place. If you turn on cable network news today, you would think he's our president because of some combination of Russia, racism, Facebook, Hillary Clinton, and emails all mixed together. But Americans around the country know different. We blasted away 4 million manufacturing jobs that were primarily based in Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Missouri. I just left Iowa. We blasted 40,000 manufacturing jobs there. The more we act like Donald Trump is the cause of all of our problems, the more Americans lose trust that we can actually see what's going on in our communities and solve those problems. What we have to do is we have to stop being obsessed over impeachment and start actually digging in and solving the problems that got Donald Trump elected in the first place.
Well, hell yeah. Of course, that's what's the, and it's very unusual to hear, of course, somebody on the stage talking about any of this. I just don't see him as somebody who's going to gain traction. He just doesn't have the look, and he doesn't have the voice. He doesn't have the presence. But the fact that he is breaking away in polling and in certain, you know, evaluations of how this debate went, my sense is that this, a lot of people are thinking this and they know it. And the libs, the Dems, are not buying their own BS. So, yes, all these congressmen are running up and they're saying, yeah, impeach Trump. Bad man, horrible person, must be stopped, doing the right thing. But at the same time, there is a growing realization on the other side of the aisle that they don't have it right, and that they know that this is all nonsense, and maybe not even that they know it's starting to not be true, but they're realizing that the public isn't buying it, and it's the candidate, right? It's the candidate that is, you know, fighting to survive, fighting to stay relevant. He's like, hell with it. I'll just speak the truth. I'm just going to say I'm going to say what's really on my mind. What the hell do I have to lose? Meanwhile, all the establishment candidates keep peddling and recycling the same garbage. And middle America is looking at them going, who the hell are you talking at? Exactly. If Biden, Robbie, 100%, if Biden had said the same thing, he would have crushed the debate. He would have won. Everybody would be talking about Biden right now being the nominee select, if not elect, right? He would be the guy. So this is, and this, by the way, this is why Trump is going to get reelected. It's just going to happen. They are literally getting up there to talk about how they're going to eliminate jobs in Ohio. And this is how I'm telling you, the left right now would cut its nose off to spite their faces. That is how they're operating. They're willing to kill blue collar jobs to save the environment. And that and that is a fiction that they've created, completely created out of thin air. I am loving this, every little bit of it. Okay, quick couple things to wrap up when we come back. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation on the Sam Nation Radio Network.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rzhovsky. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
Well, another show in the bag, or can, depending on what faith you have in Dr. Audio's technology here. Friends, it's been wonderful. Merry Christmas. I got to wish you a great Christmas and a wonderful holiday, whatever holiday it is that you celebrate. Enjoy this time with your families. Get your shopping done. Wrap your presents. Fill the stockings, whatever it takes. I will be back here with the team on the 3rd, on Friday the 3rd. So in a couple weeks. Taking next week off, and hope that we all have, everybody here has a wonderful holiday. Can you believe that 2020 is just around the corner? Crazy. All right, friends, thank you for a wonderful year. I'm grateful for all of you, and see you here after the break. People.